100 Word Stories.
Hello, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. It's Super Bowl Sunday, but more importantly, Sunday, where I have the weekly challenge. You probably won't listen to this because you're watching the game. Or when I say game, I mean Puppy Bowl and Kitten Bowl, okay? Or Kitten Halftime Special. Whatever they're doing this year. I don't know. I just watch. You know, it's puppies, you know? It's fun. All that pregame crap is just swinging the cameras around the inside of an empty stadium. Whatever. I'm not even bothering going. And it's, you know, right down the street. Yeah, you know what traffic is like right now. So, a weekly challenge. I post a topic. You come up with the story. I think the topic was late. So, it doesn't matter. If you're late, just send in your story and I'll put it up on the feed. We got stories from Charlie, Jeffrey, Richard, Tom, Muncie, Serendipity, Lizzie, Tura, Danny, no, not Danny, Norval Joe, and Planet Z. Hold on a second here. Gotta take Danny out of the list. Sorry, Danny. I think I got that in the right order. If I didn't, oh well, you know, as if it matters. So let's go ahead and give this show a listen. I hope you enjoy the stories, and I'll be back at the end.
Sorry, I'm late all the time. You wait for me, regardless of my habitual tardiness. It is the least you can do, since I'm superior to the whole frigging bunch of you. After all, you are, undoubtedly, a bunch of sleazeballs and miscreants, hell-bent on causing any number of problems and harm to the good people of the county just as I am. Of course, I have to iron my sheet and touch up the edges on my Bowie knife in addition to gathering matches and small bottles of flammables for our nightly foray into the outskirts of town.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 563 on the topic of late. My story is called Teen Angel. Sarah snuck out of her bedroom window, scrambling onto the porch roof and lowering herself to the ground. It was late at night. Her parents were assuredly sleeping, but they seemed to have an uncanny sense for waking just as she passed their door, hence the dangerous exit. A boy was involved. Of course a boy was involved. She had met this one at a house party, a long-haired, heavily tattooed interloper. No one seemed to know him, making Sarah all the more smitten. She instantly agreed when he suggested the tryst. Her parents tried not to worry when they noticed her missing the next morning. Soon her body was discovered. She had earned the title of the late Sarah. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, this is Richard. Accept no imitations, unless of course you can get them at a really good knockdown price. I've got some stories for you on the topic of late. The first one is called Late. I've never been particularly good when it comes to being on time. I'm invariably the last to arrive at parties, regularly miss trains, and frequently arrive late for important appointments. I'm always being told off. It's disrespectful, they say. You should really make the effort to be on time, especially considering your profession. And what is my profession? I'm an undertaker. And yes, I'm never on time. The dead don't really care. My friends have always laughed at me about my timekeeping and say I'd be late for my own funeral. Probably. I've been late for everybody else's. Okay, now I've got three stories, which may or may not be linked. Shirley was late. It was unlike her. She always finished at 6, took the same bus home, and her key would turn in the lock 20 minutes later. He sat uncomfortably, as the tea he'd made her grew cold and undrinkable in its cup. By 11 he was frantic. He'd called her friends and mother. None had heard from her. Now he was fumbling around the local hospitals, but drawing a complete blank. It was early hours the following morning when he finally dialed the police and heard himself say the fateful words, "I need to report a missing person." Shirley was late. It was unlike her. She always arrived at 5, and it was worrying, considering the circumstances, that she hadn't turned up. He tried to relax. She'd be here shortly. He breathed deeply, waiting for her key to turn in the lock. By 11, he was frantic. He had a severe cramp and could barely breathe. Things were not looking good. It was the early hours of the following morning that the heart attack came. When they found him, bound and chained in the gimp suit, it seemed hardly worth holding the inquest. Death by misadventure. Shirley was late. It was unlike her, but life was unpredictable, and hers was such a tangled mess. It scarcely mattered if she missed the bus or never turned up at all. Sure, people were waiting for her, relying on her, but she felt no connection, only pain, anger, and self-loathing. So it had come to this. By 11, she'd arrived. A second-rate motel in a backwater town. Calmly, she ran the bath and reached for the razor blade. By the early hours the following morning, it was over. She was late. The late Shirley Elizabeth Swinton. And on that cheery note, I shall bid you a fond farewell. Until next time, goodbye.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. And my story this evening is called Just a Matter of Scope. Later that evening, Sam and Lenny rolled the body bag into the river.
"Don't be late now,"
they laughed. Later that week, Benny and Max drove Lenny and Sam's car into the same river.
"Don't be late now,"
they laughed. Later that month, Jimmy and Sal sent Lenny's Piper Cub into the West River.
"Don't be late now,"
they laughed. Later that year, Don Vito Damonte poured 60 tons of concrete into the same river.
"Don't be late, Jimmy,"
he laughed. The mushroom cloud pretty much vaporized the river. "Don't be late, Vito," said the old man in the wheelchair. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to February. We all survived another month, assuming you all did, which I guess isn't as safe an assumption as it once might have been. Ah, well, story time. The Meeting by Christopher Monroe. John, welcome. I'm glad you could finally join us, and you're fired. What do you mean, why? First of all, you're 55 minutes late, after I'd made it perfectly clear that our foreign investors were visiting today, and that I wanted to give the best possible impression. Secondly, you reek of whiskey. And finally, perhaps most damningly, I'm assuming you arrived in the party bus parked outside, blaring dubstep as we speak. Obviously, there's no place for this kind of behavior in... Sorry, what? All your lotto numbers hit? Oh. Well, in that event, I suppose congratulations are in order. That's it for me, gang, for another week. I hope you've enjoyed my story, and if not, that's cool too. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Sunday.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. It is late. Almost midnight now. Just a minute or two remaining. Then, it is too late. And, afterwards. All that has gone before. All the striving and endeavor will come to nothing. The hope, the joy. All that is great and good will turn to terror and pain, horror and despair. Almost midnight now. Just seconds away. What have we achieved? What is our legacy? What epitaph will be spoken over our funeral pyre? And who will mourn our passing? It is late. And the hands of the doomsday clock march relentlessly towards the midnight hour. Tick. Tick. Tick.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. They were late. What now? Ron sat on a rock. Peter kicked the grass. He was furious. We keep looking. Where? In there? Ron stood up. Peter walked up to the small cabin and kicked the door open. They didn't take the jewel box with them. It would be too dangerous. Look, a trap door. It was barely covered by some debris. Let's get it and take off. A bright pair of green eyes stared back at them. Damn, didn't they say it was a box? The jewel was the 10-year-old heir of the biggest fortune in the country. And this is my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizziegoodcraft.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello. This is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and I'm just lazy. Here is my entry for the weekly challenge number 563 with a prompt of late. Bill slipped into the chapel and sat on the back pew, not wanting to disturb any of the family and friends who were considerate enough to arrive on time. The eulogy was already in progress. He'd missed his niece's rendition of How Great Thou Art. She was only 16, but her voice had the maturity and depth of a much older singer. The minister completed his thoughts. The organist began to play and, as the pallbearers carried the coffin past his wife, she placed a bouquet of roses cut from his own garden on it, just as he'd asked. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Tora Brazino here with a story on the subject late, and hopefully not too late to make it into the podcast. Travelling with Jim was a nightmare. I'd say, come on, we've a train to catch. And he'd say, we still have time. That's right, I'd say, so we go now, and we catch the train. And he'd say, what's the hurry? We've time. He always had time, so he never had time. He once got cancer, and he was in a pretty bad way. When the doctor said he wouldn't make it, someone dumped the gun and put a death notice in the local paper. In the end, he recovered. I guess you can be late to your own funeral.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
Fred worked at an office equipment company. His job title was punch clock quality control. So even when he was late to work, he was actually on time. He was just testing the punch clock's tardy algorithms. He also took a lot of vacations to test the time management application. It was important to confirm that the system reported employees who ran out of vacation time, but still took time off. One day, he showed up to work on time. The system crashed. Fail, he marked on the case, and he sent it back to development. And he left for an early lunch.
That's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed all the stories on the topic of Lost. Next week, the topic is lick. So give it a try. How many licks does it take to get to the center of this? I think I made that joke before. I may have used this topic before. We probably repeated topics. So, hey, it's your fault. You're the ones who suggested them, right? I'm not going back through a list of 600, 700 topics, you know? Well, there have only been, like, what, 563 of these things? Well, there have been pick twos. So thank you all for being a part of this. I hope you enjoyed. If you're just listening and you haven't done a story, why don't you give it a try? Tell me why you haven't given it a try. It's hard. It's so difficult. It's only 100 freaking words. Take the first 100 words that you say. You know, put a recorder in. Turn on your phone and just record the first 100 words and then play with them. Shift them around. See if it becomes a story. Be like William Burroughs. Cut them up. Mess them up. Give it a try. What's the worst that can happen? Well, you wind up doing this forever. I will see y'all next week. Thank you for being a part of this again. And as always, keep it brief.